Welcome to episode 6 of a nominal game design podcast. My name's Chris. I am a tabletop game designer from Manchester in the UK. This is the first episode of 2021. Anyway, on Twitter on Tuesday of this week, said that they wanted to hear from people about kitbashing. What is kitbashing? Is it a thing that people use when designing their games? I said I would write a thread when I had the energy, and I haven't had the energy. So, when it came time to record this podcast, I thought this is a thing that I can talk about. So, kitbashing. It's a term that comes from modelling. War game modelling. It's a term that's used in film production as well. The idea is that you take parts from commercial models. Take parts from lots of different kits, and you use them to build something new from a collection of parts, and build yourself a chimera from something that is more than its constituent parts. I approach design in two ways. I either come at it with an idea that I need to find mechanics for, or mechanics that I need to find an idea to go with. And when I come at it with an idea that I need to design mechanics for, taking mechanics from other games and kind of smashing them together and saying, this game I'm making needs something that does X, and this game does X, so I'll take that part from that game. And it needs something that does Y, and this other game does Y, so I'll take that part from this game. these two parts from these two separate games weren't designed to work together. But what happens when you put them together? What does that look like? Wretched was one of these kind of games. I knew that I wanted a game that... Okay, my original brief for The Wretched was, I want to write a game that feels to play the way a John Carpenter movie soundtrack sounds to listen to. I wanted a game that felt like a synth-soaked, grimy, grungy adrenaline rush. And I'd been playing a lot of journaling games. Writing a hack of The Quiet Year, which in itself was a bit of a kitbash. I haven't actually finished that game yet, but I'd been playing Beak, Feather and Bone by Tyler Crumrine, and I'd thought, and The Skeletons by Jason Morningstar. And The Quiet Year by Avery Elder. And I decided that I wanted to write a game like The Quiet Year, but where you drew onto a hex map and filled out hexes and basically populated a hex map and its history that you could then take as an artifact to use in an adventure game that uses hex maps, like a dragon game, for example. And so when I started to write The Wretched, the first thing I took was the Oracle from The Quiet Year. I didn't want to put a card in the deck that the player was waiting for. With The Quiet Year, there's a specific card in the deck. You shuffle it into the lower portion of the deck. The Quiet Year and The Deep Forest at the same time, and they kind of go together in my head a lot. But anyway, the game ends when a specific card comes out. And I knew I wanted the game to end at an unexpected moment. But I didn't like that for The Wretched. I didn't like the idea that... I liked the idea that you wouldn't know when the game was going to end, but I wanted it to be more... I wanted there to be more anticipation and more tension. Knowing that that card is at the bottom of the deck somewhere, you can anticipate it, but I wanted something a bit more visceral. Because the brief was John Carpenter soundtrack. And that's very visceral. Pursued by a bear, which is a silly party game played from the Jenga Tower, where you have prompts. As a group, you each say what mundane activity you're taking part in. You could be doing a set at a comedy club, or you could be cooking food in the kitchen or whatever. You get attacked by a bear, and the other players narrate how the bear attacks you, and you narrate how you escape the bear. And then, like with Dread, you draw from the tower, you pull a brick from the tower. And if the tower doesn't fall, you successfully evade the bear. Exit Pursued by a Bear is basically a very silly reskin of Dread. But what Dread and the Jenga mechanic does very well is build a sense of rising tension. Of prompts from the Quiet Year. And I smashed the two together. And that was basically where the Wretched came from. I added other bits to it, like the rolling the dice to decide how many bricks you pull from the tower, and the ace being the potential win condition that you'll never actually achieve. And the kings being another way to fail. But the bare bones of the Wretched are a kitbash of the Quiet Year and Dread. It's a very simple one. It's like taking an arm from one model and putting it on another model. It's not a difficult thing to do. spaces into something new. So on a bigger scale, The Hunted is very much a kid bash as well. This is another game where I knew what I wanted to achieve. I knew that I wanted to write a game about a group of friends being lost on a moor as the fog comes down, and being hunted by some kind of creature. And I knew that I wanted the players to build the creature and the stories surrounding the creature themselves while they played. And I didn't really know how to make that happen. Sits down with a designer and takes a very hard look at one specific move from a PBTA game of choice. And this is a podcast that has taught me Escape from Dino Island, which it's Jurassic Park, the game, without any licensing issues that would come from calling a game Jurassic Park the game. And the move that's discussed, the move from Escape from Dino Island that's discussed on The Hard Move, is called Tell a Story. I don't have it in front of me, but basically the move says, when you and a companion take a second to rest and recuperate in between being chased by dinosaurs, tell a story about X. And it's a really good way of fleshing out a world and characters and the relationships to each other and the world during play. And each playbook has its own set of stories that they tell. And I thought, shit, that's a really good mechanic. Maybe I can use that for this folk horror storytelling game I want to build. And so I started writing it, and it started out as a hack of Escape from Dino Island. And I very quickly hit a wall with it, because writing moves is hard, basically. I was trying to write these playbooks and these move sets for characters, and I didn't feel like I had any direction, and there was too much, I was doing too much setup of defining the situation and the location. It wasn't the game that I wanted it to be, and so I put it aside. Started playing in a weekly Blades in the Dark game, And I very, very quickly fell in love with Forged in the Dark as a system. And I got really excited about designing Forged in the Dark in a way that no game system has ever really excited me, aside from making monsters for the Dragon game, which I really enjoy doing. But yeah, I got really excited about Forged in the Dark games, and so I took this folk horror game and I thought, let's take it away. Let's not do it PBTA anymore. Let's make it Forged in the Dark, because then I don't have to write moves. I can build a set of actions that tell us what kind of things the players are going to be doing in this game. And they sort of act as your basic moves, right? Your action ratings in Blades are similar, equivalent almost to basic moves in a PBTA game that tell you what you're going to be doing, what every character can do to one extent or another. And I thought, well, I really like the tell a story mechanic. How does that interact with Blades in the Dark? Where can we put this mechanic? And in Escape from Dino Island, the tell a story move is purely narrative. It informs the fiction of the game, but it doesn't have any mechanical weight or consequences. It's a thing you do as a part of triggering another move. But I knew I wanted it to have mechanical weight. I wanted the more stories you tell about the creature, the more real and therefore the more threatening the creature becomes. So you're giving the creature power by defining it. And I thought, well, there needs to be a trade-off. You need to get something in return for doing that, otherwise no one's ever going to do it. And then I thought about Devil's Bargains in Forged in the Dark, and how it's a mechanical choice that you take to do better at a role that has a narrative consequence that can change the entire game. So I'd originally been writing these moves where tell a story was linked to specific moves and you told different stories when you did different things. So if you wanted to heal people, you'd tell a story about, I don't know, something medicinal, whatever, I don't know. And then I just thought, fuck it, what if we take tell a story as it is and stick it where the Devil's Bargain should be? So instead of taking a Devil's Bargain like you would in Blades in the Dark, you tell a story, you define the monster further, and you get to be better at something for one role, but the monster gets stronger. And once I put that piece into place, suddenly the rest of the game just kind of came to life, and I had this mechanical framework that worked. And so then I started taking bits from other games to flesh out the structure of play and to guide the conversation. So I took the three-act structure from Escape to Dino Island, where the first act is you defining the starting situation, and the second act is you playing through it and things getting gradually worse and worse and worse, and then the third act is like the great grand climax or finale, where there's this big event that happens and suddenly the game is rattling towards a finish line. And that was something that I'd seen done in Forged in the Dark games anyway, Quietus does this to an extent, where the first act of the game is all about defining the situation and who these characters are and what this world they live in is like. And you're not rolling any dice at any point during that, you're just having a conversation. And it feels like character creation, but you're playing the game. And so I took that and I put it in The Haunted. And then I thought, well, what else facilitates conversations? What else feels like character creation but is play? And I looked at No Dice, No Masters games and how during character creation you have questions that you ask to each other about your relationships and the situations you've been in. So I took them and I stuck them in The Haunted. And I chopped off bits from Forged in the Dark that I didn't feel was serving any purpose for the game. So I got away from, I took away position, I took away effect. I gave it a straight roll, but rather than being failure on 1-3, mixed success on 4-5, success on a 6, I split the 4 and a 5 out so that you had failure on 1-3, success with major complications on a 4, success with minor complications on a 5, success on a 6. And the game, kind of appropriately for the theme of monsters, just kind of became this chimera of parts that I'd taken from other games and glued together. And it works, they all work together really well. And I think it helps that, you know, John Harper has said that Blades in the Dark is a Powered by the Apocalypse game. And you can look at No Dice, No Masters, Belonging Outside Belonging games, and you can see the PBTA influence there as well. And so it definitely helps that all these models that I took parts from come from similar molds. They're all to the same scale, if you want to stretch this analogy to an awful place where it no longer works. They're not pieces that were designed to work together, but there's no reason they can't work together. And that, to me, is a big part of how I go about designing games. Is cannibalizing parts from other games and putting them together and seeing what happens. And sometimes it doesn't work. I'm writing a game at the moment called Dice Souls, which is a Souls-like two-player dungeon crawling, boss fighting game where you die and retry over and over again. And that's a hard thing to get right in tabletop, and one of the games that I looked at that I thought maybe I can steal parts from this was Beyond the Rift by Deep Anyway, which does this really well, where when you fail, you write down how you failed and you write down how you persevered and then you move past it. And it's a great bit of tech for telling these kinds of stories, but ultimately it's not the tech that I want in my game, because I want players to physically die and retry a few times and get gradually better each time until they can just blitz past it, because that's been my experience of playing Dark Souls. And so I'm trying to find a way to do that mechanically that's rewarding. And if I were writing a slightly different kind of game with less of a focus on the actual combat and more of a focus on telling the stories, I would probably start by writing a hack of Beyond the Rift and then seeing what else I needed and tacking things on. the resolution system I've got is actually taken from a game that I've been watching Hunters Entertainment playtest on their Twitch channel called Ragnarok Gods of Metal Apocalypse or something. It's like a Brutal Legend kind of game, and that uses pools of D4s, and you roll the D4s and ones are fails and fours are successes. And I've taken that, I've turned it to D6s, you roll the dice, and initially in this game, it's just, if you roll, I think a 1 to 2 or a 1 to 3, I need to playtest it, because the dice maths is pretty punishing. You fail, and as you go, you add more dice to your pool, and you use those dice to buy success results on your dice, so that you can negate failures, to reduce the failure range on your dice, to do all these things. And that has come from taking a base dice mechanic from a different game. I don't know how well I've answered the question about kit bashing, but it's been nice to talk about it, and it's been nice to have a kind of focused episode for once. It was nice going into this knowing exactly what I was going to talk about and having something to say, which was nice. So thanks, Dee, for raising that question. Whether this answer is a good one or not, I don't know. Obviously more people would engage with it if this were written as a Twitter thread, but it takes a lot less energy for me to sit here for 40 minutes playing the keyboard and talking to myself than it does to write a Twitter thread. Sometimes, anyway. Yeah, I'm Chris Bissett. Thank you for listening to Nominal Game Design Podcast. Find me on Twitter at Pangalactic. Find my games at lootstheroom.io. I'm about to launch a Kickstarter. I don't have a bit.ly link, so just go find my Twitter and find the link to D36 and set a reminder for when that goes live. That'll be happening sometime in February.